Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Mem Chet Amud Aleph at the two dots. The Gemara is quoting from a Mishnah of a Chachamim Omrim in lo ela arba amot. That's the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah as to regards to someone who falls asleep and Shabbat enters while he's asleep. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that he's kone shvita and therefore he's entitled to 2,000 amot in every direction, whereas the Chachamim believe that he only has 4 amot in each direction. Then we had Rabbi Eliezer says that those 4 amot that the individual gets, v'hu b'emtzan, that he's in the middle of those 4 amot. And afterwards, we have Rabbi Yehuda Omer, le'ezer ruach shiyotze yelech. He can go to whichever direction he wants. He can pick where he has those 4 amot. Now the Gemara makes a comment about that and says, Rabbi Yehuda hainu tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda is the same as the tanakama. The Chachamim say that a person gets 4 amot. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda says as well, that they get 4 amot. According to most of the Rishonim, the question here is from our Mishnah, the way that I just explained it, which is the Chachamim who argue on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri mentioned 4 amot, and Rabbi Yehuda also mentions 4 amot, which seem to be the same 4 amot. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel has an interesting explanation here, and he says, V'akshinon hainu tainu kama, which tainu kama are we talking about? That's none. The Mishnah at the beginning of our Perek, Mi shotziu akum, oh, Ruach ra'ah ein lo ela dalet amot. Those are the dalet amot that we're speaking about, and that's the Gemara's question. Rabbi Yehuda is the same as that Tanakhama. The Tanakhama from the beginning of the Perek, even though there's a big gap between them and they're talking about a different issue completely, nevertheless, that's what Rabbeinu Chananel says the question is about. So now the Gemara says, Amarava shmona al shmona iga benayu. 8 by 8 is the nachamin between them. Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda will say that when you get your 4 amot, it means similar to what Rabbi Eliezer had said beforehand. Rabbi Eliezer says you're in the middle, and you get 2 amot in each direction. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, you get 4 amot to whichever direction you choose. I mean, once you've chosen, those are your 4 amot, but you can choose those 4 amot in any direction. On the other hand, the Chachamim will say that you get dalet amot, they mean you get dalet amot in every direction. You get 4 amot in every direction, which essentially means that you have 8 by 8 amot. So that's the difference between them. The Tanakhama, the Chachamim, believe that you have 4 amot in every direction, 8 by 8 square. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda believes you get 2 amot in every direction, which is 4 by 4 square. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braita that supports that understanding. Yesh lo shmona al shmona, divri Rabbi Meir. If 8 by 8, divri Rabbi Meir. And many times when we have a stam mishnah, the Tanakhama is Rabbi Meir. V'amarova machloke the halich. That's only true about walking. About the taltel, divri akol arba amot. Everybody agrees that you get only 4 amot. Arba amot in, tvei lo, but no more than that. So, the machloke between them is simply about how far. If you're locked into place, how far can you walk? The Chachamim say you can walk 8 by 8 amot, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says you can walk 4 by 4 amot. When it comes to carrying, that your personal space around you is considered to be reshut yachid and you can carry within that, that is limited to 4 amot by 4 amot, even according to the Chachamim, who say you can walk the entire 8 amot. Gemara says, V'ani dalet amot, eichek tiva. Where do you know these 4 amot? That the person has personal space of 4 amot on Shabbat, where do we know this from? Kedetanya, they have a bright that says, in Sefer Shmo, with regards to Shabbat, Shvu ish tachtav. Every person should stay in their place. Kitachtav, similar to his place. V'kama tachtav, what does that mean, that his place? Gufo shlosh amot, his body is 3 amot. Ve'ama kedei lifshot yadav ve'raglav, and an ama to stretch out his legs and his arms. If he puts his arms above his head and his legs down, stretches them down, that'll give you the 4 amot. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's how Rabbi Meir comes up with the 4 amot. Yehuda Omer, gufo shlosh amot, his body is 3 amot. Ve'ama kedei shito chefetz mitachan me'argolotav, that he's able to take an object that is below his feet, u'meniach tachan me'rashotav, and then bring it to his head. So that is the amount of space that he gets. My benayu, what's the difference between these two understandings? Benayu, arba amot mitzumtzamot. Exactly 4 amot, which Rabbi Yehuda says that they are mitzumtzamot. It's exactly 4 amot. It's you that is 3 amot, plus that extra space that adds up to the 4 amot. Whereas Rabbi Meir, who says it's your body, plus the stretching of your arms and your legs out, that'll go a little bit above 4 amot, so it's close to 4 amot, but not exactly 4 amot. Tosafot over here discusses something that he also mentioned in Shabbat, which was very important with regards to the Mishkan and the Aron, which is that when the Gemara here says that it's a person's height is shlosh amot, that is excluding their head. They are 3 amot tall, plus their head makes it up into 4 amot. So that's the real height of the individual. We have other examples of this by the Aron, how they carried the Aron, and how far that was off the ground, and Tosafot proves from that, number one, that the 3 amot is up to the person's shoulder, not including their head. And by a mikveh, even though the size of a mikveh to fit a person in is 1 by 1 amah by 3 amot deep. That would mean, how do a person get his head into the mikveh? So Tosafot explains two different ways. One is that when the person enters the water, he actually displaces water. The displacement of the water in the 3 amot will actually cause the water to rise above his head. The other one is that Hirkin Rosho, he'll bend his head down. Truth is, it's probably a combination of both. The displacement of the water and bending his head down, he can fit into the mikveh. And by regards to Hezek Ri'iyah, which in the Gemara in Baba Batra, Mishnayot and Baba Batra speak about, that you have to distance yourself away from the windows of another person, 4 amot, because that's the height of the individual can see, those 4 amot are the individual up to their head, and then if you stand on your tippy toes, or the ground's uneven, it'll be a little higher, or if you stand on your tippy toes, you'll be able to see through. And that's what it means, that the body here is 3 amot, and with the head, that will be 4 amot. Okay, now the Gemara continues. I'm related to Rav Mishashi of the Bray. Mishashi said to his son, Ki alit the kamei de Rav Papa, when you go to visit Rav Papa, then, bayimine, please ask him this question. Arba amot shamru, these 4 amot that a person is granted on Shabbat as his personal space, be'amadidei, yavinalei, is it subjective, based on his own personal size, his personal amot? O be'ama shokodesh, yavinalei, or is it an objective amah? The amah that was on the doorway, the eastern doorway into Harabayit, where they had the measurements of the amot over there, is it an objective amah? So, im amar lecha, if he responds to you, amot shel kodesh, yavinalei, that you get an objective amah, and that everybody gets the same amount, og melcha bashan, matei alav. Then what is a person who is much bigger than that going to do? Someone like og melcha bashan, who is bigger than the standard amah, how is he going to fit into that personal space? Vim amar lecha, be'amadidei, yavinalei, and if he answers, on the other hand, that it's really subjective, it's according to the personal size of the individual, why isn't it included in the Mishnah? A Mishnah that we quoted earlier in the Masechta from Masechet Kelim, which talks about certain instances where measurements or shiurim are completely subjective. And those are, Yesham Ruach Golifi Mashu Adam. There's certain shiurim that have to do with the size of the individual. Those are the komets, they are the chofen, these are certain measurements that are used by the Guanim in the Migdash, and it's all dependent on the individual themselves. Those are subjective shiurim based on the size of the individual. So if this amah here is based on the subjective amah of the individuals, why wasn't it included in that Mishnah? Yato the Kamei de Rav Papa. So when his son, Rav Shashi, his son came before Rav Papa, he asked him the question, and then Rav Papa said, Amalei, idaginon kulehai lo abitaninon. Says, if we're so medayeg in every little word and every little issue, we'll never end up learning. We'll never end up being able to reconcile everything. You can't be so particular about these issues, why it's not found here, there, but rather, the olam b'amadidei yavinalei. Number one is, the psak halacha is that b'amadidei, it is a subjective amah. V'tekakash halacha, my time alok toni gabe yesh she'amru. Why doesn't he include in that Mishnah in Kelim? Because it's not completely subjective. Because the lo psikulei, it's not always the case. Mishum di'ikan anas be'be'rav. There are some people whose extremities are smaller than the size of their body. They're not proportionate. Normally a person is proportional, therefore their amah, their personal amah, subjective amah, 3 of them would equal the size of their body, and 4 of them including their head. But there's sometimes where the extremities of the individual are smaller than the proportional size of their body, and then if you add up their amot, they won't get the 4 amot that would have been their body laying down. So there is some sort of objective standard of amot. We'll say, number one, yes, it's subjective, the amot, and that's how we'll handle Og Melcha Bashan, or people are really big. But if someone has, for whatever reason, smaller extremities, we're not going to say that it's subjective. Then we'll go to an objective standard to allow them to have the proper form amot to lay down, and not the form amot based on their own personal amah. So that'll answer both of your questions. One is it subjective or objective? The answer is subjective. Number two is, why wasn't it included in that Mishnah discusses subjective siurim? Because there's a partly objective standard to this. You have 2 of them together, and they have a overlap between them in their 4 amot that they got going to Shabbat. Why did we continue in the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon says, what is this similar to the case of Chatzirot? This is what Rabbi Shimon is saying to the Chachamim. What is this case similar to? 3 courtyards that are adjacent to each other, each one opening into the other. You have one to the east, one to the west, one in the middle. Plus, uptuchod reshut rabim. Each one of them also opens independently into the reshut rabim. And over there, maishna hatam depaliktu. We're going to see in coming that the chachamim disagree with regards to this issue with Rabbi Shimon. They think that over there, all of them are asurot, and it doesn't work. Whereas a maishna halacha de lo palikto. But over here, when you have three individuals who have overlapping dalet amot, over there we allow the two outside people to interact with the middle person, the middle person to interact with the two outside people. But by chatzerot, the chachamim disagree and say, no, we can interact with anyone else. Not the outside with the inside with the outside. So Rabbi Shimon says these cases are identical, and yet, by chatzerot you argue, and by the people you don't argue. Please be consistent. Obviously he's trying to convince them to be in his direction, which is that they should be mutarot. So the Rabbanan answer, Rabbanan hotam avshei durim, achalu avshei durim. It's the difference in the number of people that are involved in the situation. In the case here by the dalet amot, we only have three individuals involved, and it's easy to keep track of what stuff belongs to the person on the east, what stuff belongs to the person on the west, and therefore they can interact and be careful, and they will be careful about it. Problem with the chatzerot is we have lots of people involved in this situation, and it's basically going to become a free-for-all. People are bringing in from the eastern side to the middle. How are we going to ensure that the people in the middle don't take that out to the western side? There's just too many people involved. Not everybody's aware of the din, and therefore it's going to cause a problem. Because of that, they argue by the chatzerot. But by the individuals, they allow it to happen because it's a much more controlled situation. Shtayim achitzonot. The outer two courtyards over there, Rabbi Shimon says that the middle one can interact with the two outer ones, and the two outer ones can interact with the middle one. Ve'amai. Kevan da'arilu chitzonot ba'adim tzayit, arilu chado. Why is it that the two outer ones cannot interact with each other? The eastern one has an eruv with the middle one. The western one has an eruv with the middle one. So now, basically, the middle one has both of them together, and it's as if, on a transitive basis, they are all together in one place. The middle chatzer is now a place of joint ownership for everyone. So why can't you carry through everything, even from the two outer ones to each other? Amar Rav Yehuda, Yigon Shnatnayim Tzait, Eruva Bezu, Ve'eruva Bezu. So Rav Yehuda gives the first answer. The case here is a case where the middle one did not keep the Eruv inside the middle chatzer. But rather, the middle chatzer, when they had the Eruv with the eastern one, put the Eruv on the eastern side. And when they did the Eruv with the western side, they put it into the chatzer on the western side. So by doing that, they do not have any overlapping area where the Eruv is. There's no one singular place, because the Eruv is found on the eastern side and the western side, but not in any area that's joint between them all. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's solution. Rav Sheshet Amar, Afil Teimah Shnatnu Eruvan B'Emtzait. Even if they placed the Eruv in the middle one, still, Kegon Shnatnu Abishtei Batim. They put it into two different houses in the middle chatzer. So yes, had they put it into the same house in the middle chatzer, you're right. Then it would have been a joint ownership across all three chatzerot, and it would have been fine. But here they put the eastern one into one house, and the western one into another house in the middle chatzer. And because of that, it's as if they're not joined. Come on, who's that like? A Beit Shammai. That's similar to Beit Shammai, the Tanya, Chamisha, Shigabu et Eruvan. Five people in a chatzer, houses around a chatzer that got together to make an Eruv. And they did not put it into one keli, into one utensil. They put it into two utensils. Beit Shammai omrim, Eruv Ram Eruv. That is not a good Eruv. Beit Hillel omrim, Eruvan Eruv. But Beit Hillel says it's fine. Even if it's in two kelim, it's fine. So when it says, Afilu Tema Beit Hillel, this could be even according to Beit Hillel. Ad gam lo kamri Beit Hillel atam elu b'shnei kelim. That's only true when you're dealing with two utensils. Beit Hillel says that's still considered to be one Eruv. But Beit Echad, because that's in one house. Aval b'shnei botim, if it's in two houses, lo, then it's not considered to be a single Eruv, and maybe even Beit Hillel would agree here. So I'm going to say Rav Acha b'rei the Rav Avya, the Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha b'rei Rav Avya said to Rav Ashi, the Rav Yehuda kasha, Rav Yehuda's position is problematic, or the Rav Sheshet kasha. And Rav Sheshet's position is also problematic. Let Rav Yehuda kasha, Rav Yehuda's position is problematic, damar. So the middle one put its Eruv on the eastern side and the western side. Because when the middle one made the Eruv with the eastern one, so now they have a joint area together. So since now they have a joint area together, they're now a singular entity. And then when the middle one after that goes, and goes ahead and makes an Eruv with the western one, it's as if they are the proxy for the entire unified chatzerot. The middle one with the eastern one, now they're a single chatzer because they got together to put an Eruv together. And then when the middle one now goes and interacts with the eastern one, they are a proxy for the chatzer, but the joint chatzer of the outside. And therefore it should now be considered a single chatzer. And why is there a problem here? So that's our problem with Rabbi Yehuda. Even if you place the Eruv in on the outside, it still should be that the second Eruv that's placed incorporates everything that was made by the first Eruv. The first Eruv joined the middle on the eastern side. So now when they go and make an Eruv with the western side, it should be that entire entity that's making it, and now they should all three be considered one. That's my question of Yehuda. Or Rav Sheshet Gashon, I have a problem with Rav Sheshet's position. Rav Sheshet's case should be no different than five people that live in a single chatzer, five houses in a single chatzer. One of them did not join in the Eruv. The Asrei Adadi, that they're all Asurim on each other. So it should be the same thing over here. With regards to the middle entity, they made an Eruv with the eastern side, and they made an Eruv with the western side. Then they come in and they put one Eruv with one house, and then another Eruv in the other house. Those two houses are like separate entities. And it's as if they made it a statement that we don't want to include the other Eruv. So that's like leaving somebody out of the picture. When you leave somebody out of the picture who has reshut, permission to be there, then your Eruv is no good. So for the western people, when they put their Eruv together with the middle, but they don't include the eastern side who has rights to go into this middle case. And if they have rights to go there and they're not including the Eruv, they cause a problem. And same for the eastern side. They put their Eruv together with the middle one. So yeah, that's great. But what about the western side that has rights to the middle that they did not include? And that should create an Easter over here. So Amarle Ravashi, below the Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, below the Rav Sheshet Kasha. Ravashi answers him, it's not a question for Rabbi Yehuda. It's not a question for Rav Sheshet. It's not a problem for Rabbi Yehuda. Kaven di irvala emtzait b'hadei chitzona u'shtaim chitzonot b'hadei lo irvu galei date b'ha nechalei v'alo nechalei. The fact that when the two outer chatzerot, the eastern one and the western one, made their eruv with the middle one, they did not include the outer one, then they're making a statement of exclusion. So yes, when the middle one made the eruv with the eastern one up front, and then after that the middle one went ahead and made the eruv with the western one, we could say, oh yeah, they're a shliach. They're a proxy for they joined a chatzer. But the fact that that western one went and did this with the middle one and not with the other outer one shows you that they intentionally want to exclude it. And that would be the case in both of these. The fact that they only made their rule with the middle one and did not include the other outer one is an indication that they don't want to include the other outer one. And that's what the problem is over here. You're right. If they were not so makbid and they said that they wanted them to be a proxy, it would work. But over here, because of the nature of the other chatzer being left out, that shows that they don't want to have lead Eruv encompassing all three of the chatzerot. And that's the problem over here. Or of Sheshet Lokasho, and from Sheshet it's also not a problem. Imamru diurim lahakel, imamru diurim lahmir. This has to do with how the whole Eruv works. We're going to get into more in detail tomorrow. The way the Eruv works is that there's some sort of fictitious joining of the groups together. By having food in a single house or put together in a single keli, it's as if now we become a unified group that's all living together in one house. It's as if there are no longer any more multiple houses. So that is a fiction created by the Chachamim, because the whole institution of Eruv is Midir Abanan. So the Chachamim, when they say that Diurim, that the people that live there, when we put them together, now they become a single entity, we do that to say Lehakel. That's to make a kuva. So now that they can carry back and forth between them. What they didn't say is that this fiction is now going to create a problem for someone else as an Eruv. So over here, when the eastern side makes their Eruv with the middle chatzer, and now the middle chatzer goes ahead and makes its Eruv with the western side, even though the western side did not include the eastern side, and the eastern side has rights in the middle one, the fact that they can get into that middle chatzer is not going to detract from the fact that they now have a joint or a fictitious joining of the western and middle side. And that's how this Eruv works. The Eruv works or is there to their benefit. The benefit is that their joint ownership will allow them to carry between them. What it's not going to do is cause a problem for the other Eruv. We're not going to say, oh, now they're really joined. They're so joined that those people from the east, since they have rights in the middle chatzer, they're going to cause problems for the people on the west who made an Eruv with the middle chatzer. No, we're not going to go that far to say that, because it's only an institution, the Rabbanan. And when they instituted this idea that all the disparate individuals are considered to be one house, they did it only the toilet for their benefit, but not to their detriment. So over here, the benefit is that it will be considered like an Eruv, and they can carry between the outer one and the middle one. But it won't be to their detriment, the fact that the other side also has an Eruv here and rights to this middle one. That will not cause a problem for their Eruv. Okay, we're going to stop over here, because the next piece of the sugya that begins continues through tomorrow's daf, and we'll start with that tomorrow.